good morning.
Hi, yes, welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. The question I need to ask you first and foremost is, you know, I've read that book on matching your diet to your blood type, and then I've tried those keto diets, and I've tried Banting, and I've done pretty much everything one would think. The amount of time I've spent on a diet, I would be slightly slighter than I am right now, but nothing has worked. Does DNA? I mean, is DNA the last stop in understanding how your body works and working according to it?
So one can't say that we have a golden ticket. I don't think there's ever a golden ticket to health and to diet.
Right.
But I do believe that there is a lot of backing to the genetic tests.
Right.
What's very different about your genetic tests and the approach that we would take compared to all of these other approaches is it's science-based.
Mm-hmm.
There's evidence to it. It's not just, maybe based on opinions or just something that someone maybe believes that one should change or do differently. So that's probably the key element here. It's science-based. It's evidence-based, and it's not something that's just been researched for the last 2 years. There's years and years of really good research behind that, and we've seen the good results. So it's not just evidence-based, but we've seen patients that are actually following it are actually seeing good results.
Mm.
So it's certainly not a golden perfect ticket.
Because you could know your DNA results and still eat the wrong way.
It's incredibly helpful, yes. Mm. So, and what I also really love about the genetic testing is it's incredibly individualized. You know, there's no faking your genetics. What we got was your genes. It's nothing more than that. And what also people really enjoy about that is they know it's incredibly individualized. It's incredibly unique to who you are.
So you didn't need to meet me to know that I wasn't a Kenyan a marathon runner?
No.
Why are you laughing, Zanati? That's rude. You know what? If I was sensitive, jeez, yeah.
Well, at least we can tell a lot of things from genetics, but also not the whole picture.
Right.
And that's what I also love about it is even though genetics could be quite similar for two people, even though they are different people in terms of their different lifestyle, habits, culture, personalities, work routine, family, it also would actually make the genetics be implemented slightly differently to that person because it's just one piece of the puzzle.
But what's confusing for me, and I know that when I've had this conversation, it's clearly confusing for people as well, is it's not a blood test. In other words, it's not a blood test. I'm assuming it almost takes a photograph of where you are at today. So if I'm eating very badly and I'm not looking after myself, my blood test is going to reflect that.
Yes.
Is it true to say your DNA will not change, whether you took a swab of mine at 8 days old or 50 years old, it's going to be exactly the same?
That's a very good point to bring up. So first of all, the DNA testing is very invasive. The DNA test is a simple cheek swab, so it's very CSI.
The blood test is invasive, you mean?
No, the genetic test.
Oh, the genetic test.
Isn't invasive.
Oh, isn't. Oh, sorry, I'm not.
Sorry, okay. I should maybe speak a bit clearer.
No,
sorry, not used to this radio stuff.
Right.
So the genetic testing isn't very invasive. It's a simple cheek swab. So it literally just looks like a long earbud.
Right.
Swap in the inside of your cheek. Simple, easy, no frill, no fuss, no needles.
Right.
Nothing to worry about if a person is a little bit scared of those types of things.
Right.
But in terms of what you mentioned, secondly, you very much correct, is often blood tests is quite a snapshot of a current situation.
Right.
Where are we at right now? Where is your cholesterol? Where is your glucose? Where is whatever? But the genetics is something that you can't change because that's what you inherited from your parents. Your genetics is a combination of what your mom gave you as well as what dad gave you. And how we interpret it is depending on those genetic combinations, we've seen from research that they can react and give us certain information. But we use a lovely analogy which just helps people understand it because it's quite difficult to see, okay, how does genetics give us this health link kind of thing? So we use an analogy that says that your genetics loads the gun, but your lifestyle pulls the trigger.
Wow.
So we are
David,
trying.
What do you think? It's quite scary.
You know what? I think for me, I can relate to this a lot because I think, you know, when I think of, you know, just sharing, you know,
just
the four of us.
Yes.
Just, you know, as far as having a heart attack last year, that, you know, my genetics were very loaded as far as that was concerned.
Interesting.
And even though, you know.
Had you known that?
Yes, absolutely. I'd been on medication for years and years. But again, I'm starting to see that at work as well, where you see such a generational link between people, with, for example, suffering from psychiatric difficulties. And, you know, I think it's really very profound that we're getting to a point where psychiatry is becoming a lot more scientific, because I think for years, you know, psychiatrists in their defense,
yeah, they played, they're not played around, but they had to.
It's been very difficult to identify what medication.
It was trial and error.
It was trial and error to a large degree, and it made it very difficult for psychiatrists and for patients, because you never quite knew whether it was optimal or whether it was working or whether you're going to have side effects. And I think this makes it so much more scientific.
Yes.
And with that comes a lot more certainty. So I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
No, absolutely. And I think that's what's so great about how it's developed is in the beginning it was, you know, really in its infant stages. But now what you've just alluded to is our test that we use in terms of medication that really gives people an indication of how their body would respond to it, whether they've already started taking the medication or not. Mm-hmm. And when any kind of physician will start prescribing medication, they can know this collection of medication, class of drugs wouldn't really work for a person, but this would. And so it's just simply taking out that trial and error, and it's so fantastic for your type of patients in that regard. Absolutely.
Time is 8:43. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM. Joining me in a studio, David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, and dietitian Jessica Peterson. We're talking about DNA diets. Do they really work? All right. Getting back to me for just a moment, because because really, David,
it's all about you in the show, right?
Well, not really. It's often about the nutty, but if we find that's too much, we just, you know, turn a mic off. And so what you did the test for me?
Yes.
And you recommend diets based on what you found with my DNA. Share. What did you find?
Yeah, so we have several different tests. One of the things that we did with you was our diet test, which gives a lot of information about weight management and things that you should change in your diet and lifestyle to better manage your weight. So, for example, one of the things that came up in your test was we should lower the fat. So we see that there's often that confusion of people say, like, should I go high fat, low carb, high carb?
Well, and I've tried everything. That's the point. And I never know what works and what doesn't.
Yeah. So we basically look at several different genetic markers, or what we call SNPs. And depending on what the overall picture of all of those little genetic markers say, we then get certain information. So for you, it was that. And the idea is if you had to drop the fat in your diet to within certain ranges, your body would just respond better, function better, and then also manage your weight better.
Right.
And that's not to say now everyone will get that result. We have different, you know, combinations of results, but that's what you got.
So another person might find that, you know, they do process saturated fats much better. They should be on a low carb, high fat diet.
Something like that. So we get many different combinations.
And I can't appeal it, because I would prefer one of those diets, if you don't mind. There's no appeal system you have going.
No appeal system. The genes are your genes.
No, David, it's not an unreasonable question.
No, it's a good question. Yeah, but we can also take the genetic information and make it individualized to you. And that's why we also, as a company at DNA Analysis, it's very important that we go through health professionals. So I'm a registered dietitian, but there's other homeopaths, doctors, physicians, psychiatrists. We've got a whole team, and you'll never just get your genetics sent to you via email. You always have someone explain it to you, because, like I said earlier, you might be on a low-fat plan as well as the person next, you also could be on a low fat, but how it's actually implemented would be still different, because you are two different people, and that health professional that's in front of you, their job is to make sure it's applicable to you, as well as also your medical background. You know, people sometimes are taking other medications, conflict, so it's very important that we see
that
it as
you
a big
have a
picture.
Whole picture there.
And I mean, I'll say to patients, you know, genetics isn't the be all and the end all in the big picture. You know, you have to look at all those other factors to who a patient is.
Right. And what was also interesting to me is that you mentioned certain risks that I might have, but yet those don't appear to be in my family or those haven't manifested. How does that work?
So that almost goes back to that loaded gun analogy I gave earlier. So if genetics loads the gun, but your lifestyle pulls a trigger, sometimes you've had situations where your lifestyle has pulled the trigger and you will see something being manifested, some kind of outcome. But sometimes you have a loaded gun or potential issues, but in that certain regard, your lifestyle or nutrients or certain vitamins were supporting that process really well, that nothing then was manifested. So that's why that analogy is so important, is to just understand it's loaded guns, but whether it's come out or not,
is something different.
It's very dependable.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah, I think this makes so much sense, because over the years we've seen how people just struggled, you know, because the newest diet has come out and it works for some people and it doesn't work for others, very much like medication. And I think this makes so much sense when you think about it, because we are all individuals. We all have our own
Okay, that's a line from some... Oh, I'm going to use that on my... Write that down, Sonati. We are all individuals.
No, that's not so profound.
No.
Are you going to... No. No.
We are all individuals.
Cross that out, Sonati. Absolutely, it makes so much sense, because people struggle with these generic kind of, you know, this diet should work for everyone, this diet should work, this medication should work for everyone.
Genetics is often that reason of why people are reacting differently.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And how does it differ from person to person within a family? Obviously, there's no rule of thumb, but...
It's very interesting to do genetic results with the family. I've done a few of them.
I would imagine.
So, you know, with siblings, is you can, you don't expect them to have, you know, the exact same genetic material unless they're twins, because what the genetic happens is it's really this lottery of, at each particular point in your genetic material, you have... basically kind of three combinations that you can get from what we call your genetic alleles, or, you know, that would make up the SNP. So I've had siblings where you could kind of have 50% is pretty much the same and 50% is really different. Or the percentages could be quite a lot different. So it's not like you'll see a brother and sister and expect them to have all the same risk factors and all the same positives.
Because I've already maybe told all my siblings exactly what's going on in their DNA.
Well, on that point, can we hear more about how it's results?
So how much you want to pay me, David, to give you the real juicy stuff?
All right. We are running out of time. Gosh.
Oh, is really? It already? Now we're running out of time. Hey?
All right. So give him some other snippets. I don't mind. I'm an open book.
Oh, well, there
Even
you go.
Down
so
to so my
now
dear
you've been given permission,
go right ahead.
No, there were some really interesting things that came up, and in the DNA health test is one of the tests that we do mostly with our patients. It looks at many different processes in the body that can affect different disease risks. Very helpful if you are currently worried about disease risk, as well as maybe in the future. And two of the things that came up for Howard was one of the processes that we call methylation. Sounds like a bit of a foreign, weird term to most people. Methylation is a process in the body that happens very regularly, where it's just adding a methyl group to keep a molecule more stable. Now, that still doesn't sound like that makes more sense.
No, I'm still panicking.
But we are looking at methylation of your genetic material. So your cells are constantly dividing and replicating, and each time that happens, we just want the genetic material to be in a healthy form. And so when we look at methylation, there's lots of aspects to it, and Howard had one or two issues in this methylation process, and when methylation doesn't happen smoothly, these links to cardiovascular health because of a byproduct that gets built up. So we discussed, for example, one of the things was increasing his B vitamin intake, which is just something simple. We know our Bs. It's often in, you know, your multivits. Some people will even just take a B complex. We have B vitamin injections. So it's something that we're very familiar with, but it's quite nice to know this process.
That it's good for you or good for me to take
that. And you actually need even more so than maybe the standard amount. And we also discussed there's different forms of the B vitamins, and one of them is a methylated form, and it'd be better for Howard to take. And if he's more diligent about his B vitamins, for example, now for this methylation, he would decrease his cardiovascular risk and hopefully then not have any issues there. He has a little bit higher cholesterol and higher blood pressure. So because of that factor, cardiovascular risk would be a health, cardiovascular risk factors would be a concern because of already your current medical situation. So that was a very important thing for us to go over. We discussed, you know, quite a few things, but that's, for example, one of the things that came up in the health test.
But in a way, very empowering, because...
Well, it is empowering, and that's what, and that's what's so amazing about it.
Yeah, I mean, it can create anxiety because, you know, you start to hear, you know, I always worry about too much information, you know, when you get too many things to worry about. But I think in this way, it's very much around very positive, doable things
Absolutely.
That Howard can do, for example, to you know, improve his health. So yeah. I think, again, that should lower anxiety because you're you can be proactive.
Well, because you feel more in control. So you know, right. You know what I found, and I found since I got some of this feedback is I used to feel guilty because of the way in which we've been schooled lately is if I had a piece of toast, I would feel like I was the worst person in the entire world. But now knowing that in fact I need a low fat diet and I can have some carbs and if I have a piece of health toast, that's actually okay.
Yeah.
I don't need to feel bad about it.
Well, I think again, useful with eggs because I can tell you that, you know, someone who does suffer from heart difficulties, I mean, you can read on day one that eggs are absolutely terrible for you. And then in the next day,
moment they say it's fine.
They say it's absolutely brilliant, you know.
Sometimes the, you know, your nutrition guidelines can be tricky in that regard because they do often change. And the egg guideline is a good example where previously they used to say, you know, one to two eggs a week would be kind of your max, but then they did new research and they actually saw, oh no, you know, you don't have to be so strict in it or whatever the case maybe is. But with the genetic test is, it definitely can feel like a little bit of information overload. Right. There's a lot that you can really get from genetics, but we just break it down. As a company, we've got really easy to understand reports that it's, you know, that you can take nice practical chunks from it and not get lost in the science. It's great if you want to know that, but we say, cool, genetics, great, the science is there, but what do I do about it?
Would it be as specific as, products like cheese and coffee, because, you know, often come across people saying, oh, gee, I have coffee because it's social, but I don't really feel great afterwards. Mm. Or, you know, certain foods make me feel terrible or, you know, make me bloated. Would the DNA analysis be as specific to identify specific foods?
Good question. So it doesn't per se ever give a yes and a no list in any of the tests. It's difficult. The research doesn't really back up stuff like that. There's definitely certain sections where it can get quite precise. Caffeine is an example where we do look at a CYP gene that is looking at your caffeine.
I like how the caffeine one's called a CYP gene.
Yeah.
I think that is perfectly appropriate.
Yeah. CYP of coffee, it's an easy one to remember, the CYP gene. Right. So a CYP gene would actually look at caffeine sensitivity. We also have another gene that looks at lactose intolerance, the amount of lactase enzyme that your gut produces. So certain genes are quite specific, but then other ones are looking at a greater process, which might be a little bit more broad. So it kind of gives a combination of certain specifics, but also more understanding of broad recommendations and broad processes in the body.
That's unfortunately all we have time for. Great. Dietitian Jessica Peterson, how do we get hold of what is their website that anybody can get more information on?
So you can go onto the DNA analysis website. Mm-hmm. That's dnalysis.co.za, and from there we'll be able to direct you.
And you'll be able to get, you'll read all of this.
And we are based all over South Africa as well as even internationally. So we'll just arrange a courier to send you a sample. That little CSI earbud kit, get your DNA, and then also arrange a practitioner to come and see you. We've also got people all over the country.
Absolutely fantastic. David Abramson, thank you as always. Thank you for staying and participating in this conversation.